Today's episode is true. Everything I am about to tell you actually happened. Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones. I am Liberty Campbell.
And I'm Alexis Peterson.
My phone has been going off all day. It's really annoying. I guess the sewer at my work backed up and flooded the basement.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that's gross. And so they're like trying to figure out what to do with it. And I'm pretty sure Scarlett is going to be one of those kids that wakes up way too early now, so that sucks.
Oh no.
I'm over it. Already. I jinxed myself though, because I used to say, well, I kind of wish she would wake up earlier so that I could get more done. But I don't go to bed till I'm like super tired and it's super late.
Yeah.
So
sounds like you have to train yourself too.
Yeah. It's going to result in a lack of sleep for me, especially now that I am working nights. So,
did you do anything fun for St. Patrick's Day?
No. I don't even think I left my house.
That's okay. I got a Shamrock Shake, so I call that a win, but that's about all we did. And I did that by myself after work.
But at least you finally got it, because remember, yeah. You were telling me about how you were excited to have one.
Yeah, and then I tried to get one the day after St. Patrick's Day, and they were like, Oh, that's only for St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like,
That's dumb. You're like, no, it's for March.
Yeah, the way I remember it, it goes all month long. So I don't know if they were like, yeah, we just don't want to serve it anymore because it's a lot more work, or I don't know.
Maybe I'll go to my McDonald's tomorrow and see if I can get one. I think the last time I ate McDonald's was when I was pregnant.
Nice.
I never eat McDonald's.
That's okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Either. I mean, it's fast food, so it's not entirely good for you.
I don't want to spend the money is really what it is.
Not true.
It's not necessarily that it's like fast food. It's that I just don't want to spend the money.
Yeah. But getting a caramel frappe at McDonald's is a heck of a lot cheaper than getting a frappuccino at Starbucks.
You're not wrong.
But you can only get caramel is the thing. They don't have any other flavors. They used to have chocolate one, I think. Or like a mocha one.
Yeah. No. I remember that.
Stop continuing it.
My go-to Starbucks drink is either a caramel macchiato with extra caramel or a dirty chai.
Yeah, mine's either the caramel macchiato or a java chip frappuccino.
I have to have the extra caramel though.
Yeah, I'm weird. I'm not a big caramel person, but I kind of like caramel flavoring. It's just I don't like caramel candies, like the hard caramel candies.
Oh, I love those. How can you not like those?
I don't.
How do you not like those?
I don't know. I'm just weird. I like it in Snickers. I like it in...
Yeah, drinks. You like the syrup, but you don't necessarily like the candies. That makes sense.
Caramel or caramel? Because that's a huge... controversy.
Caramel. I think that's so stupid. Caramel. Who says that? That's not a word. Caramel. It's caramel.
That's how I say it too.
Okay. I'm glad because caramel is not a word.
Some people beg to differ though. Some people say it the other way around.
Well, in my personal opinion, those people are wrong. So I'm just kidding. Kind of. I'm kidding. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I will have baby goats.
Woop woop.
I'm so excited.
Have they gotten bigger? Or like my belly gotten bigger is what I was, my brain's not here today, so.
That's okay. Yes, her belly has gotten a lot bigger. I'm thinking she probably only has one, but she's not technically due until the beginning of April. So it's very possible that she could get even bigger.
Okay.
This weekend, in the most ridiculous wind ever, we set up like a little nursery thing for her. And it's just like this dog kennel, and it's got tarps covering it. And then I shoved a bunch of straw in there and left some water in there. And she has to sleep in there until she has her babies, because I don't want her to have them where I can't like be in there with her and like contain her.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited.
Okay, so you have to explain like the baby not baby thing. Where,
wait,
you
know, what?
Where you got her thinking that she had a baby, and then all of a sudden like she may not have a baby, but now she might have a baby. So you have to explain all that.
Okay. Okay, so we bought this goat back in like February. I had a mental breakdown. The next day I bought this goat, because when I am sad, I buy farm animals. Anyways.
Hey, some people dye their hair. You just buy farm animals.
It's becoming a serious problem. Alexis, I have 16 chickens.
It's okay.
16 chickens. Anyways.
It's a good way to cope.
It is. It's a great way. My husband, his bank account doesn't agree, but it's fine. Anyways, so I bought this goat after an emotional breakdown, and her owner said, yes, she should be bred. She'll be due in early April. And I was like, oh, great. Like, I've got some time. It'll be fun. That's exciting. Whatever. And then probably like beginning mid-February, she sends me a text and she says, hey, has Fancy been getting any bigger? Fancy is the goat, by the way. And I said, well, no, not really. Like, she hasn't shown very many signs of pregnancy. We were actually starting to wonder if she was actually pregnant or not. And she said, well, it looks like the does that she was in with, the other girls that she was in with, and this male goat, they're not pregnant at all. They're not pregnant. And I was like, oh. She's like, so if you could get her checked like as soon as possible, that would be really great, because we need to know if she is pregnant. And if she's not pregnant, then that means our buck is like a dud, like he's not producing. And I was like, yeah, we have some friends that we can have come over and check her. Well, we didn't ever have somebody come check her because like our schedules just like didn't align right. And so we just kind of went on assuming that she wasn't pregnant, because she wasn't showing any of like the typical signs. And I'm not super knowledgeable on goat pregnancy, but I know that their udders will like bag up and their bellies will get really wide. And I started to notice her belly getting a little bit wider. And like my husband noticed. And then the other night, I think it was like Thursday, I was at the store and this lady texted me. The lady I bought Fancy from. And she said, so surprise, those goats are actually pregnant. They're actually bred. One of them is starting to bag up, like she should be having her babies any day. And I was like, that's funny, because we've been wondering if Fancy was actually pregnant, you know, in general. And she was like, yeah, it looks like they probably all got bred. So now we're kind of like rushing to get everything we need in order to take care of these baby goats. And that's how it came to pass to be that she was pregnant, wasn't pregnant, now is pregnant.
Yeah. Well, you definitely know there's a difference when the husband notices something.
Yes, because I was like, at first I was like, maybe she's just getting a little bit of a hay belly. Like, I've been feeding them a lot. And then she like got wider. She's getting wider and wider and wider. I'll have to take a picture of her and send it to you. She wants absolutely nothing to do with me, and I want nothing but to love her. I just want to love this goat and hold her babies, and I cannot wait. Hence why I built a little cage for her. That sounds horrible, but that's what I did. Anyways, I built a cage for her so when she has her babies, I can go in there and I can really love on them and like bond with them and like make them human friendly, because she is friendly. She just like doesn't want anything to do with people.
Well, today my work has chickens, and so every day I go and get the eggs. Today, this one chicken kept pecking my hand whenever I tried to pick her up to get the egg from underneath her. And then Ryan went to get the eggs later, and she pecked him too.
Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea what about chickens besides the one nutrition class that I took in college that I failed. I didn't fail, but I didn't do well on the assignment because we were balancing nutrition and I wasn't watching my proportions. And so while the nutrition was balanced, I was giving 7 pounds of feed per chicken per day.
That's a lot of feed. I don't even give my chicken 7 pounds a week. And I have 16 of them. Anyways, yeah. That's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is the hen who is pecking your hands. She is what's called broody. And that means that she wants to lay on those eggs and have babies. Do you guys have a rooster? Do they have a rooster?
Yeah,
we do. So, I mean, it's up to, obviously the barn owner or whoever. But if you leave her on there for about 21 days, you could have baby chicks.
Interesting.
So I would just leave her alone.
Yeah, the barn owner hasn't said anything to me. But yeah, she doesn't move from that spot at all. And, so I move her every day to, get the eggs. But, yeah, today she pecked at me.
Yeah, I had one do that last year. Her name's Dottie. And I let her sit on them for, over a month. Which it only takes 21 days for a chick to form inside an egg. And I knew after, day 25 that the eggs were no good. She was not a very good mom. She got off her nest way too much.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen this chicken move from her, spot in at least a couple weeks.
Well, if you've been taking the eggs, then, there aren't eggs there to be, to hatch. But if you give her, 4 or 5 eggs and let her sit on them for a few weeks, and then, you can do what's called candling and see if the chick is inside or not. And then, you could get baby chicks. And if you guys are going to do that, separate her from all the other chickens, because that will cause her to, go off her nest sometimes. I learned all of this last year when Dottie went broody. Yeah. I know way too much about chicken reproduction.
Yeah, because these are heritage hens. And so I guess she used to have a whole bunch before, but I guess it was a mess. And so she cut back and only has 7. She has 6 hens and 1 cock. Or I guess male chicken.
Rooster, cock, male chicken, whatever.
Yeah.
I was just going to tell you something and now I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was about how you know the breed of the chicken. People ask me all the time what breed my chickens are, and I just look at them and I say they're chickens. I have no idea. They're chickens.
I only know that because she knows that and she's very proud that this is a pre-World War II breed. And so they don't lay as many eggs because of their breed.
That feels like a pointless chicken. You should eat that chicken. Personal opinion, I guess. I don't know. But I have my chickens because A, I love chickens, and B, not that they love me, and B, I like their eggs. I have too many of them. I have eggs coming out of my ears, it feels like. Speaking of chickens, okay, I have to tell you about what happened to my chicken, and then you should move on at some point. Yesterday, Duncan was outside with Scarlett working on our little goat shelter cage thing, and Scarlett comes over to Duncan and is like, chicken bath? Chicken takes a bath? My husband's like, what? And he walks over to the water trough, and one of our chickens, Fluffbutt, yeah, my chickens all have names, by the way, don't judge me. Fluffbutt had fallen into the water, and so Duncan picked her up and put her back into the chicken coop. And when I got home, he was like, you should probably check on her. And I was like, okay. So I brought her into the house. She spent the night in the house last night because she was soaking wet. She was shaking and completely docile. And she does not like to be touched. She is not a chicken that wants to be cuddled. So she was cuddling with me. She was perfectly fine this morning. Whatever. Dry, happy as can be. Wanted to be let go.
Oh, man. Yeah, these chickens don't want to be touched. They, run away when you get near them, and, you know.
Yeah, my chickens don't want anything to do with me. I love them desperately, but they don't love me, so.
They give you eggs. Isn't that showing their love?
You know, I'm not really sure it works that way. I'm pretty sure that they would give me eggs whether or not they love me.
So the true
question... But I'm going to take it.
Yeah. But the true question is, have you figured out what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know, man. It's got to be the chicken. It's got to be the chicken because they're like direct descendants from dinosaurs. Like, I have a bunch of tiny little dinosaurs running around outside.
Right. But then would that be that all of a sudden the dinosaur hatched a chicken? Or did it, like, go through some process and then it would be the egg because the egg would be the start of that new process?
Well, evolution is a thing, first of all. But this is my, like, completely uneducated guess because I am not a scientist. A dinosaur and some type of bird had a really bad night after some tequila shots. And an egg came out the next day, and then there was a chicken. So the egg came first. From a scientifically point, from a non-scientist, the egg came first.
From an edumacated guess.
From an uneducated guess. I am not a scientist. Not a scientist. I failed biology 10-10, okay? Not a scientist.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we will be right back after this ad break.
Today's episode is a rough one. We will talk about abductions, domestic violence, and just a lot of really horrible things in general. So please proceed with caution.
So this case is wild, and it's not like anything that we have talked about before. I know that this show is about missing kids, and the technical cutoff age for a missing person being a kid is 18, but this case was just so mind-blowing that I had to share it with you guys.
Go on. I'm super excited to hear today's episode.
Today's case is from a small town in Austria. The town of Amstetten was rocked in 2008 when a girl who had been missing for 24 years suddenly turns up at the hospital after another girl was brought in extremely ill. So, where was she all of this time, and why show up now? Well, we are going to start at the beginning, back before she went missing. In 1956, Joseph Fritzl married 17-year-old Rosemary. Together, they had 7 children, 3 sons, and 4 daughters. Joseph was raised by a mother who did not want him. He was neglected and abused, and this transferred into his own parenting. Around town, he was well-known and well-liked. One of those people that knows someone everywhere you go, you know?
Yeah, I believe everyone knows at least one person who's classified as a social butterfly.
Anytime I go somewhere with my dad, I guarantee we will run into at least one person he knows. Like, that's how my dad is. He knows everybody everywhere. And if he doesn't know them, he knows something about them. Like, it's really weird. But this is how Joseph was. But at home, he was a dictator. He controlled every aspect of the family's life. Who they saw, what they ate, where they went, what rules they had to follow, and what they, you know, could kind of get away with. And at one point, his sister-in-law recalled that the kids would be laughing, chatting, playing, having a good time. But as soon as father came home, everything fell silent because they were afraid of him.
That's awful. I could not imagine living in a household like that.
I could not either. And I mean, domestic violence is really hard to understand. And this woman stayed with him for years, years and years and years. She lived like this. I mean, his wife was tortured for years. I mean, he constantly physically and emotionally abused his wife and children. Not one of them was safe from the rage that his own mother instilled in him. But he had one child he favored the most, their 4th child, Elizabeth. He controlled every single aspect of her life, and he took her everywhere with him. None of the children were adored the way Joseph adored Elizabeth. Elizabeth was smart and kind and quiet, according to her friends and family. And as she got older, she began to distance herself a lot from friends and even family. And suddenly, she turns into herself and her grades begin to decline. Her friend talks about how she wasn't interested in any of the boys. She never oohed and awed at them with her friends or had crushes. She just showed like no interest in other people whatsoever.
So maybe she was just afraid to show any interest because of the abuse at home.
It's very possible. Obviously, things were hard, but they became much harder when she turned 11. This is when Joseph began to sexually abuse her, which explains the self-isolation and the lack of interest in boys. At one point, around 2 years before she disappeared, her and a friend ran away. I mean, they were found the next day, and she was punished heavily for it. So when Elizabeth went missing on August 28th of 1984, it was very quickly marked off as a runaway. Police figured she was 18, she could go and do whatever she wanted, and to make matters worse, a letter appeared at her home addressed to her parents. It appeared to be in her handwriting, and it said that she was running away to join a cult because she was tired of the abuse and wanted to be free. The police, of course, took this and ran with it and closed the case only a year after she disappeared. Of course, the people who knew her best knew that this was just not true. There was no way that this girl who had every aspect of her life controlled had the time and the ability to meet anyone who was in a cult in order to join a cult. Also, I want to point out that when you are joining a cult, you don't typically know that you're joining a cult. Throughout the years, three children would appear on Joseph and Rosemary's doorstep, each one with a note from Elizabeth explaining that she could not take care of them and she trusted her parents. For 24 years, her family heard very little from Elizabeth. Besides leaving the infants on their doorsteps, they had no clues to where she might be or what she might be doing. That is until April of 2008. This is when Joseph called an ambulance for his granddaughter who had suddenly fallen ill. The 19-year-old Kirsten was extremely sick, along with epilepsy. She had kidney and liver failure, amongst a long list of other things. Her grandfather had no information on the girl and claimed that Elizabeth had left her on their doorstep the day that he called an ambulance. So he had no way of knowing how the girl became so sick. When they went to find more information about the girl, they discovered that there was no trace of her anywhere in the national database. She had no social security number, no birth certificate, no proof that this girl was who Joseph said she was. This raised red flags for the hospital staff. So they called the police in to investigate. This is when the search for the now 42-year-old Elizabeth began. It was a manhunt, including police, news media. I mean, everyone and their dog was looking for this woman so that she could provide life-saving information to hospital staff and explain why this girl was not accounted for, according to the government. In the media's eyes, she was a monster who abandoned her sick and dying child on her parents' doorstep. Finally, on April 26th, 2008, Elizabeth shows up with her father to the hospital. They alert authorities and both of them are taken into custody for questioning. This is just the beginning of the case. You're gonna have to come back next week to find out where Elizabeth was and what she was doing for the last 24 years.
So you're gonna do a sturdy like that and just leave it like that?
Yes, today's episode is a little bit shorter.
Guess we're all just gonna have to come back next week to find out what happens.
Yeah, it's gonna blow your mind. I'm really excited about it. Because when I first read about this case, my brain was like, oh my gosh.
Well, the weird thing is, like, why would she keep bringing children to the household that she had been abused at? Theoretically, so if these kids were hers, why would she bring them back to the place that she's trying to escape from? Like, good news, yay, she's actually, like, healthy and there, or, you know, she comes to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions that I promise I will answer next week, but you're gonna have to wait. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This case takes a turn that no one ever expected.
I mean, there aren't a whole lot of closing comments, just a whole lot of questions like what's going to happen next and where has she been? It's the real question. What has happened to her?
It's going to blow your mind when I tell you everything next week. Yeah, it's crazy for sure. Well, should we go ahead and jump into our highlighted kid of the week? Every week we try to highlight a kid who is missing, but we don't necessarily know their story. But they are still important because they are still missing. And if we don't know that they're missing, we can't help find them. So Alexis, who is our highlighted kid?
Okay, so this is another pair who went missing together. This is Kyla Hunter and Christian Justice. On May 24th, 2014, Kyla Hunter and Christian Justice went missing from Detroit, Michigan. They were last seen in the company of their mother, Alicia Fox, who was later found deceased. They were born November 8th, 2007, and Christian was born October 2nd, 2013. They both have brown hair and brown eyes. Kayla was 4 feet 5 inches at the time of her disappearance, and Christian was about 2 feet flat at the time of his disappearance. Kayla weighed around 65 pounds, and Christian weighed about 17 pounds. He was just a little baby. And their race is both black. If you have any information regarding the two disappearances, please contact your local FBI office or the nearest American embassy or consulate. You can also contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-843-5678. And the field office for this is Detroit.
Well, we will have their information up on our Instagram and on our blog. And hopefully someone has seen something and knows something and can help bring these babies home. Remember, see something, say something.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Remember to follow us over on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Missing Ones Pod. You can also join us over on Facebook in our new discussion group. Just search the Missing Ones discussion group and hit join. It's that simple. We want it to be a safe place for people to come talk about the podcast, missing kids, and other cases that draw their attention. And most importantly, share us with your friends.
Have a great week.
Bye.